And the Goal Line Club brings you Gopher Gridiron Radio. Ryan, we have another promo code to save $10 for those that aren't members. Again, they should just be members of the Goal Line Club because it's going to save them even more money. And they're going to donate, their donation will go to cover Gopher football expenditures. So what's our promo code?
Our promo code is Hoodie10. Yes, you're thinking of a hood and sweatshirt in honor of Scott Frost Week. The Goal Line Club thought it would be nice to use promo code Hoodie10, H-O-O-D-I-E or H-O-O-D-Y, and the number's zero afterwards to get into the tailgate there. Again, $10 off a person, unlimited beverages, that is adult, non-adult, and you get Tony's Diner for this 8 a.m. kickoff. I'm not sure that there's anything better, Luke, than as many Bloody Marys or screwdrivers or mimosas, plus some Tony's Diner in the morning. So that's, again, promo code Hoodie10.
And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buehr.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns, and we welcome you guys back to what in the world to think of this game as Minnesota returns off their bye with an assortment of newsy items to get to, that of which we will, but it's just it's a huge game for both teams this week, whether like Minnesota's 3-2. Nebraska somehow already played 7 games already, which is insane to me.
They haven't had a bye, have they? I don't think they have.
No, they've got 2 byes coming up in the next 4 weeks before they take on,
And really, it's not a bye. They're idle. But, yeah.
Call it what you will, Luke. But, I mean, this is a monumental game for the trajectory of both of these teams for a variety of different reasons, which we'll get into. But it's... there's a lot of newsy items to talk about today before we get into all that, Luke.
Okay, so housekeeping items. If you haven't checked out our previous episode, we did an entire episode dedicated to the chair trophy. Check that out. We had Casey O'Brien join us. Make sure that you donate, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But listen to that whole episode. Otherwise, let's get into this game, Ryan. This game is played for a chair. A $5 Bits of Broken chair. And it's not going to be recognized, but the fans obviously have fun. So when it comes to player availability, we won't talk about injuries exclusively in this portion of the podcast. What players may or may not be eligible this weekend, Ryan?
Well, I'll tell you, the two big news items are Trey Potts is now officially out for the year. Fleck came out and said it on Monday that the training staff has told him that whatever the injury is going to keep Trey Potts out the rest of the year. Now, for those of you who are angry again, because I feel like this is the whole Mo Ibrahim thing in terms of Fleck not saying what it is, his philosophy is this. He doesn't want to say what the injury is. He's going to let the kid say it. So the kid could put it on social media if he wants to. If he doesn't want to, he's not going to come out and say it. Now, the interesting part about it is I don't know any media member that has gotten the full story of what it actually is. It sounds like it's an internal injury. I don't know if that means a lacerated something or another organ, but either way, Trey Potts is out for the year. And I don't know that, I posed the question to both Justin Gard and Chip Scoggins. It's that, who do you think has a higher chance of playing another snap of football for Minnesota, Trayson Potts or Muhammad Ibrahim? And I'll pose that same question to you, Luke.
That's a tough question because we don't know the extent of the injuries. So,
That Mo popped his Achilles.
Well, we assume that. Right.
And that's where with Mo, like, he could come back, but also what does he have to prove other than, I think there's a strong NFL track record of the NFL running backs and Achilles injuries not really going hand in hand in terms of finding success there. So does Mo come back for another year? And the way Fleck phrased it on Monday, I'll tell you, it doesn't sound like it's a guarantee that Potts is going to come back. And even Fleck talked about it on Tuesday during his radio show with Guardsy and Grimmer, was they don't know. Like, They don't know if they need to take another running back in this class because they don't know if Trey Potts or Muhammad Ibrahim are going to be able to come back. Like, the whole Potts thing is so new still that let's let the kid recover first and foremost, and then he can decide in the next handful of months if football is going to be another serious option for him or not. But it's unfortunate. I mean, the best part is that Treyson Potts is now out of the hospital, which is the most important thing. He is still recovering. Obviously, as I've talked about, he won't be playing football again this year. But it's just like you came into the year thinking, Luke, I mean, when we made our predictions, somehow, Luke, that was only like 7 weeks ago. Like, if you were to have told me that the All-American goes down to Mo Ibrahim, and then the guy that we were high on in
Treyson Potts
was now also out for the rest of the year. And oh, by the way, Luke, there's roughly, I don't know, 65% of the season left if we're assuming Minnesota makes a bowl game, which I'd be absolutely gobsmacked if they don't. Like, you have to go through the next 7-8 games with Marquise Irving, Kai Thomas, Bryce Williams, and Cam Wiley. It's going to be an interesting day on Saturday because I don't know what to expect from this running game. And part of that is, what was your favorite Curtis Dunlap moment, Luke?
Yeah, you texted me that earlier. I don't know that I have a favorite Curtis Dunlap moment, but the fact that we seem to be living in a living a situation all over again, maybe it should have just happened the first time that he entered the transfer portal and moved on. So
yeah, and again, I wrote about that on Gopher Illustrated in terms of, you know, where does Minnesota go now with the offensive line? You can go there and read it on GI. It's free. You can get my more complete thoughts there. But, I mean, the reality is, and we talked about it with Derek all season, you know, Curtis had been the worst lineman of the six. And he also had just seen his snap percentage drop to its lowest percentage of all the games so far this year, where against Purdue, he played a season low in snaps and only 60% of them, where Blaze Andrews, conversely, played his highest amount of snaps. And, you know, Fleck was asked about it on Tuesday. He's not going to comment. You can read his full couple of sentences in that same piece if you're curious to hear what he said about it. But, you know, I do wonder, and we will know, obviously, by the time Saturday afternoon hits, but I wonder if one of the changes that Minnesota was going to make out of the bye was they weren't going to be rotating six linemen anymore. I mean, whether you believe Derek Burns, who I think would tell you the same thing that PFF would be in Pro Football Focus, you know, Curtis Dunlap was the worst run blocker and the worst pass blocker so far this season out of the six offensive linemen. And it just felt like at times they were forcing a square peg into a round hole with the way that they were rotating Andries, Faalele, Schluter, and Dunlap at times this year. So I wonder if one of the changes that we were going to see out of the bye was that Andries was just going to be the full-time right guard, and that means Faalele and Schluter where they're going to play their full complement of snaps at the tackle spots. I don't know, but either way, Dunlap is back now in the portal, and I think this time it's going to be for good. I mean, you remember last year, as Luke kind of mentions there, that he entered the portal for a time and then he removed himself. It doesn't sound like this is anything new with some different things going on behind the scenes. I don't know. We'll see how it all kind of plays out, but I'm not expecting Curtis Dunlap back on the team, and we have a whole lot of time in the offseason to kind of figure out what that means for the future of the O-line. For me and Luke with Curtis Dunlap, like whether you look at, you know, his 2019 snaps or you look at his 2021 snaps, and again, I don't know how much of his play this year is because of he's still recovering mobility from that Achilles injury that he suffered. I'm not sure. But I'll tell you, PFF has not been kind to Curtis Dunlap. In his time as a Golden Gopher offensive lineman. Now, again, he's not in his elder years like guys like Connor Olson are, but it'll be interesting to kind of get into this offseason. So I will get into it a little bit later in terms of what I think it might mean in terms of maybe Connor Olson comes back to right guard and Blaze goes back to left. I don't know what it means, but other injuries other than that, Luke, I think Minnesota is going to be about as healthy as they've been, especially at the pass catcher position, because Chris Ottman-Bell gets a week to rest. Daniel Jackson was a little banged up. He gets a week to rest. Dalen Wright is back with the team. He was starting, I think, Wednesday during the bye week. He got back from his leave of absence related once again to his best friend who was on the Utah football team who was shot and killed. He's going through the grieving process and he's taking it pretty hard, but he's been back with the team and practicing. And then we also got the Purdue hero that is Michael Brown Stevens. So especially as Minnesota's trying to figure out the running back position, Luke, it seems like an ideal time to say, I think this is about as healthy as we're going to see the pass catching position over the next 8 games.
Yeah. And you'd hope that obviously they can change their best and make a step forward in the passing game. They're probably gonna have to commit to it. This is something we've called for and we believe is going to make them more successful. And I guess we'll see it here in week one against Nebraska. Not week one, in the first game following the bye against Nebraska, I should say. So let's get into when the Gophers are on offense, Ryan. So coming into this game, Minnesota is averaging 24.4 points with 334 yards of total offense. 141.8 are through the air and 192 are on the ground. Conversely, Nebraska's defense is giving up 17.9 points per game. They're giving up a total of 342 yards of total offense, 208 through the air and 133 on the ground. This Nebraska defense also, Ryan, is pretty good. I think we've talked about this in the portions where we talk about the Big Ten in the whole. You know, it seems like the black shirts are making their way back in terms of being a relative force for this team. And this Nebraska team in general is just improving too. So what do you expect to see when the Gophers are on offense?
Ain't that the question? I don't know. I mean, I can tell you what, in theory, I think should happen. I think they should open it up a little bit more in the passing game. Now, I think we need to attach the big, giant air quotes of what does open it up mean? Because to me, it means you throw the ball, say, 25 to 30 times on Saturday. And I think that has to be the disclaimer, because I believe Minnesota's only thrown the ball more than, I think, 18 or 19 times in one game this year. But there's just no way without Potts now, and the first game without him and Ibrahim, that you can just say, yep, you know what, we're just going to ride Bucky and we're going to ride Kai Thomas to the tune of like 40, 45 carries. No way. I mean, you can't in this game. If you're not going to open it up in this game with your fourth-year quarterback, and as I mentioned, oh, by the way, your pass catching core about as healthy as they're going to be for the rest of the season. I mean, what are we doing here at that point, Luke? I mean, what do you think? I mean, do you think that's an outlandish take? I just think that before you answer, I mean, we need to have that big, in air quotes, open up, be defined for people. Because if you think Minnesota should throw the ball more than 30 times a game on Saturday, like, that's great. I'm happy for you, but let's be realistic here. And that's where I think that 25 to maybe 28 number is where it's more realistic. And that is, I mean, in theory, opening it up, because they'd be passing the ball probably 30 to 40% more in total than what they had shown in previous games. What do you think?
Yeah, I think in terms of opening it up, I'm not necessarily advocating for they throw it a whole bunch more. I think what I'm advocating for is they take more shots, right? So kind of what we saw in the Purdue game where they were willing to take, you know, taking shots of riskier throws, you know, long plays, kind of spread the defense out as much as possible, both vertically and horizontally, any way that they can try and do that. And probably for me, what I want to see a progression here is I want to see them continue to get the tight ends more involved. We saw in this Michigan game, most recent Michigan game, that Nebraska can be exploited with tight ends. And I think that's something I'm hoping to see to really open things up. Let's get some plays for Co-Keefe and Brevin Spanford dialed up so that we can try and take advantage of what Nebraska is going to give us.
And that's where their linebacker, JoJo Doman, who's probably the best player in their defense, has been pretty good in coverage, and he's been really good overall. But it's their other younger guy, Nick Henrich, of which Minnesota was kind of involved there in a recruiting battle there. He has been more the liability between the two in terms of in coverage there, if you believe the Pro Football Focus grade. So I'm with you. I mean, I still think Minnesota is still going to run the ball 40 times, but if they throw the ball 25 to 28 times to complement that, that's going to be incredibly important. And I can already tell you now, one of my keys to the game is that they need to find an efficient and explosive passing game against Nebraska, because we talked about it last week. You know, Minnesota has three explosive passing plays against Purdue, and it's no surprise that on all three of those drives, Minnesota has points as a result. So the explosive passing plays are going to have to be there at home here on Saturday.
Yeah. So Ryan, this may or may not surprise you, but I did some research ahead of this game. As you know, I do love some advanced stats. I don't love to cite them until I feel like the sample size is somewhat relevant. I do feel like at this point in the season, we're about halfway through the season. There is some statistical relevancy here. And one of the sources that I like, that you know, is I like Football Outsiders, especially when it comes to efficiency. So I'm gonna cite some of these throughout the podcast here, because I think we're entering a really interesting point in the season. So specifically when the Gophers are on offense, did you know that Nebraska will be arguably the best defense efficiency wise that they have played all season? And we have seen how they struggled massively against Bowling Green. Not particularly efficient as a defense. We saw them struggle also against Miami of Ohio, also not a particularly strong defense. But, you know, relatively speaking, Nebraska is ranked right now in efficiencies per Football Outsiders as the 16th most efficient defense in the country. And now that can change with time, but they've played a very strong 16th schedule.
16th most efficient offense or defense?
Defense. Most efficient defense. So Minnesota is really going to have to change their best if they're going to improve, because this arguably is going to be the most efficient defense they've played all season. Now, it's only going to get tougher as the season goes on, because both Wisconsin and Iowa are ranked ahead of Nebraska when it comes to defensive efficiency. But thus far this season, this is the most efficient defense they'll play.
I mean, yeah, and that's where, if I don't know what my, I mean, to tell the listeners, honestly, I don't know what my prediction is going to be for this game yet, because the only thing I know is I'd take the under. I mean, I don't know what the over-under is right now. I think last I heard it was like 49. That's a lot of points between these two teams. And that's where Minnesota's going to have to figure it out. I mean, and it's going to have to be through the air, because I don't want to lean too much on the two backs. And I think that you're going to see a lot of Marquise Irving. I think you're going to see Kai Thomas get his first carries since the Colorado game. And I don't know what you think of Cam Wiley and Bryce Williams at this point, but from listening to Fleck on Monday and Tuesday for a long time, I mean, he keeps talking about the freshmen, you know, the freshman backs, the freshman backs. Well, I can tell you Cam Wiley and a freshman, and I can tell you Bryce Williams and a freshman. So that tells me Marquise Irving and Kai Thomas are going to get a long look over the next 7-8 games. And if you're going to be able to move the ball against the Nebraska defense, which, again, I think some teams have shown how to do that. I mean, Michigan State in the first half did a really good job of it. Michigan found some success last week. You can do it. It's just you have to be efficient and explosive with it.
Yeah, and I think you have to have some explosive plays coupled with, you know, having long sustaining drives. You know, Minnesota tends, their identity is to have long sustaining drives because they want to manage time of possession. But at the end of the day, you have to take advantages when they're there, take advantage of the advantages, the opportunities when they're there, and you have to exploit them for those explosive plays coupled with that that sustainability. And the Goal Line Club again brings you Gopher Gridiron Radio. Once again, Ryan, you and I will be at the tailgate. We'll have a table there. We're going to see how many pieces of French toast that my son once again eats, my 2-year-old son. While he's more interested in the light rail as we walk up, I'm more interested in getting to the tailgate and hanging out with all of the people and getting to meet some of our listeners. Again, so if people want to save money, Ryan, how are they going to do that?
They can use the promo code HOODIE10 at checkout to save $10 off per person to get you into the tailgate. Once again, and it is unlimited beverages, whether that's adult beverages, non-adult beverages. And for this 11 a.m. kickoff, at the tailgate will open at 8 a.m. That means you can get there at 8, get your screwdriver, get your mimosa, get your bloody, get whatever your drink of choice is, and then pair that with some Tony's Diner. Sounds like an elite morning to me. And as Luke said, I mean, to be able to be right across the stadium, it's a great atmosphere there. I know a couple of people who texted me this morning that they both signed up to be GLC members. And once again, that is a 100% tax deductible membership, and all of your money goes directly to the Gopher football program. So if you want to help out the Gopher football program and also save a little money on your taxes, become a member today and visit goallineclub.org.
All right, so when the Gophers are on defense, Nebraska is averaging 31.9 points per game. Minnesota is averaging giving up 19.6 points per game. Minnesota is giving up 307 yards of total offense, 230 through the air, 77 on the ground. In large part, Ryan, because of that improved defensive line, which you called long, long time ago. When Nebraska is on offense, they're averaging 493 yards of total offense, 270 through the air, 223 on the ground. That's pretty impressive, Ryan.
It's the Adrian Martinez show, and it starts and it ends with him. I mean, whether that's the running offense, of which they're, if you look at the conference games only, Nebraska has the number one running offense in the Big Ten. I believe it's somewhere around 230 yards a game. But do you know who their leading rusher is in attempts, yards, and rushing touchdowns, Luke?
I'm just going to guess that you brought up Adrian Martinez for a reason, and that it's Adrian Martinez.
Adrian Martinez leads the team in rushes with 88, or if you're trying to keep track at home, he's running the ball about 13 times a game. He's got 450 rushing yards, of which it's about 65 yards per game, because I'll remind our listeners, Nebraska has already played two more games than Minnesota. They played a week zero game, and then they never had a bye week. So Minnesota's got that advantage on them. And then Adrian Martinez, through seven games, already has double-digit rushing touchdowns. He's got 10. And oh, by the way, with his arm, he's completing 66% of his passes for nearly 10 yards per attempt, 9 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. He has been really good. I mean, we were talking in the pre-production meeting about that, Luke, about how you mentioned to me, you know, this is the best we've seen Adrian Martinez play since that true freshman year. I mean, in 2019, he was bad. 2020, he was bad. And I understand that injuries are a part of that, and the dysfunction of Nebraska's offense was also a part of that. But, I mean, last time I remember seeing – Adrian in 2020 when Minnesota won that game, I mean, the man couldn't complete a forward pass. He threw the ball 27 times for 111 total yards. Like, 4 yards per attempt is incredibly sad. And they've found it. I mean, they've been explosive through the air. They've been explosive on the ground. And that's where this Nebraska offense does a lot of different things with motion, misdirection. They've got some option game that they've been rolling out there. And they've got an identity, and that's something that I know you talked about with me in the pre-production meeting as well, about how they have they are a running team, and that starts and it ends with Adrian Martinez, because 5 different running backs for Nebraska have 20 plus carries. Now, they appear to have found their guy in Ramir Johnson, who's got double digit carries each of the last 4 games. He had 172 total yards against Michigan last week, Luke, but there are some things where you can exploit, and it starts up front on that offensive line, which I'll get to later. But, I mean, does it surprise you that Adrian's as healthy as he is? I mean, they've just played 7 games in a row, and the man's running the ball like 12, 13 times a game.
I mean,
and that's got to – and with his injury history,
yeah,
it surprises me how much they've had him run.
Yeah, I appreciate you bringing up that, you know, they've tied, you know, that their success is rooted in their identity of Adrian Martinez, because it really is. But number two, yeah, it's amazing that he has stayed as healthy as he has, given basically the amount of usage he has accrued over the season. And most impressive is, like, they're using him in goal line situations to run a ton too, Ryan. Especially where you're going to take a big beating, you know you're going to take a hit. You don't have the sideline as your friend nearly as often. It is pretty impressive he's been able to stay healthy, and frankly, that's largely what's made them one of the more efficient offenses in the country. They're currently ranked 30th in the country. And Ryan, when I look at this now, I look at the remainder of the schedule, this is the most efficient offense the Gophers will play the remainder of the season.
It will, and again, I'm not trying to disparage the Nebraska offense, because I do think they're a good offense, but I also think that also says a lot about the upcoming offenses that Minnesota has left on their schedule.
For sure.
Like, Maryland has looked like a dreadful team. Taulia Tagovailoa has gone from one of the, hottest guys in September with the way he was playing. To now the last two games, he's been Taulia turn the ball over.
That's pretty good. How long did you workshop that one?
Oh, I stole that one from Justin Guard. So, Guardsy, you're welcome. But he has been dreadful the last 2 weeks. You've got Northwestern, who's a dreadful offense. You have Illinois, who's a dreadful offense. You've got Indiana, who's an incredibly average offense. You've got a below-average offense in Iowa. And then, oh, by the way, a dreadful offense in Wisconsin. So, I mean, there's a reason why Nebraska is putting up the statistics that they are. You know, they don't really have the wins to show for it yet, but this is a good offense, and that starts and it ends with Adrian Martinez.
Once again, it's time for Gopher Math, and this is brought to you by Ayers Rock Planning at ayersrockplanning.com, on Twitter at Ayers Rock Plans. Think about the biggest expense you might have in your life, Ryan. The most common answer is going to be mortgage, putting your kids through college.
Mm-hmm.
And that could all be correct, but did you know it's also income tax?
Sounds right to me.
If you have ever worked a job where you needed to cut a check to the IRS, and I think you know about that, Ryan.
I certainly do, and I know how big those checks are.
Yeah. So let's make sure that Ayers Rock Plan can help you find the biggest expenses in your life and help cut that tax code into your advantage. There are no tricks. There's no offshore accounts, just a holistic approach to use the tax code to your benefit using strategies that are both legal and ethical. So reach out to Ayers Rock Planning at ayersrockplanning.com. All right. So for the Gopher Math portion, Mr. Burns, what do we have for a question?
So the question for today, and once again, make sure to use hashtag Gopher Math on the Twitter machine, tag myself at Ryan Burns. What am I at? Ryan Burns MN. Tag the radio at Go Radio. Tag at Ayers Rock Plans on Twitter with this answer, and you'll get 2 free months of GI. And oh, by the way, this will, I think, get you all the way up to National Signing Day. So if you want to know all the behind the scenes stuff there, seems like a great opportunity. But today's question is the combined Big Ten championships minus the combined national championships between Minnesota and Nebraska, divided by Minnesota's current win streak over the Huskers. And once again, PEMDAS does not apply. So take the first one minus the second one, divided by the third one. You get a whole number. First one to tweet that at Ayers Rock Plans, at Ryan Burns MN, at Gopher Radio with the hashtag Gopher Math gets 2 free months of GI. Go at it.
All right, when we look at the facts and figures for this game, again, this is a home game for the Gophers. It's 11 a.m. on ESPN2. When we're looking at the specific betting stats, Ryan, the Gophers are currently a 3.5-point underdog with an over-under of 48. On the season...
That's way too high of a number for me, but yeah. I guess we'll see.
All right. On the season, Nebraska is 3-4 overall. Against the spread, they are 5-2-0. Minnesota is 3-2 on the season. Against the spread, they are 2-2-1. So let's get to your keys of the game, Ryan.
It's going to be a little longer one, I think. But the first one is the Gopher passing game has to complement the, and in air quotes here, new and air quotes running game. Because the reality for Minnesota is this. You're down your best two tailbacks for the remaining 7 or 8 games. You know, preseason All-American Mo Ibrahim, everybody knows about his Achilles injury against Ohio State. Well, his successor, who had been running really well to the tune of 552 rushing yards and 6 scores in the last 4 games, is now also out the rest of the season because of a freak injury. So that leaves you with freshman Marquise Irving, Kai Thomas, and a little bit more experienced guys per se, Cam Wiley and Bryce Williams now. Again, if you want my full thoughts on how I think the tailback thing will go, I wrote about them. You can check them out on GI. It's free. But the bottom line is the Minnesota passing game is going to have to find their footing if Minnesota is going to stay competitive in the Big Ten West, and that starts on Saturday. Because after the bye week, you will be as healthy as you've been and will be for the rest of the season at the pass catchers. Chris Ottman-Bell is going to be as close to 100% against Nebraska as he will be in any other game going forward. Same thing goes for Daniel Jackson, who Fleck admitted during the bye, or on Monday, I forget which one, that he was a little bit banged up. Dalen Wright is back from his absence, and he's been in practice. Plus, you've got Michael Brown-Stevens coming off the best game of his career. So pair that with a bye week for the offensive coaches to get a long look at what they want to do at running back now, plus on how they want to attack this Nebraska defense. And there's just no more excuse for the Gophers to not throw the ball more, because Tanner Morgan has thrown the ball 19 or more times in just one 2021 game. And now you can talk to me about game script. I get it to an extent, but I just cannot see a scenario where for the remaining 7 to 8 games, that's the winning formula moving forward. Now, the offensive line is still intact. And again, say what you will about losing Curtis Dunlap, but he was 6th in offensive line snaps this year. But the running backs are going to need some time to figure it out. And that's, you know, whether it's the freshmen of Thomas and Irving, or even the younger guys, or just Cam Wiley and Bryce Williams. These guys haven't seen a lot of Saturday bullets. So I'm hoping that Mike Sanford and PJ Fleck get a little bit more creative in the passing game, because Luke talked about Nebraska's defensive metrics. They're a pretty good defense. They rank about middle of the Big Ten in yards per game allowed. You know, they're averaging about 5 yards a carry from running backs against their defense, with 5 rushing touchdowns in 7 games. It's about league average. And JoJo Doman is a good linebacker. They've got 5 Husker defensive linemen, and Garrett Nelson, Ty Robinson, Caleb Tanner, Ben Still, and DeAndre Thomas, who have double-digit pressures on the year as well. So when I look at this game from an offensive standpoint for Minnesota, I do believe they'll be able to run the ball some, but this all comes down to the explosive passing plays. I mean, in their last game against Purdue, I talked about it, they had 3 explosive passing plays. The Chris Ottman-Bell one for a touchdown, and then 2 to Michael Brown-Stevens in the center of the field. It's no surprise that on 3 explosive passing plays, Minnesota gets points on all those drives. So now with Ottman-Bell, as healthy as he's going to be, Daniel Jackson as healthy as he's going to be, Dalen Wright back from his leave of absence, you've got Michael Brown-Stevens there off the best game of his career. You've still got Coe Keith and Brevin Spanford there. With a running back room that needs to sort itself out, Sanford and Tanner Morgan are going to have their best performances of the year if the Gophers are going to emerge with a victory. Now, it's no surprise that my second key is I want to see Adrian Martinez beat Minnesota with his arm and not his legs. Now, he is, the way he's been playing, incredibly capable of doing that. But, I mean, the guy is just a terror with his legs. I mean, I talked about it. The last 2 games he's had against Minnesota in 2018, 15 carries, 125 yards and a touchdown. And then last year in Lincoln, he went 15 carries for 96 yards and a touchdown. He's their leading rusher in either attempts, yards, rushing, touchdowns. And he is a large part of why this offense has been good and why the offense has moved the ball at all for Nebraska. But that offensive line, it's bad. I mean, specifically the tackles. Now, like, here's what I'll say. So Nebraska started their season with Turner Corcoran at left tackle and then Minnesota native Bryce Benhart at right. Now, in the last few weeks, they had been mixing in the Prohaska kid at left tackle. The issue is now Prohaska got injured against Michigan, and he's not going to be able to play in this game. Now, you can say what you will about Pro Football Focus, but I've never seen things like this. So Turner Corcoran and Bryce Benhart, of the 31 offensive tackles graded by Pro Football Focus in the Big Ten. Now, I used, I think, 100 minimum pass blocking snaps to try and give a little context. The average Pro Football Focus grade is a 60, you know, whether that's the run, the pass, or whatever they're doing. Can you guess what Turner Corcoran's pass protection grade is as it currently sits here today through 7 games? Again, the average PFF grade, if you're just an average player, is 60.
My assumption is, based on your saying, bringing this up, it's got to be bad. And if 60 is average, I'll take half of that, so I'll go 30.
It is 0.2. I have never seen a pass protection grade that low from Pro Football Focus. Now, in 7 grades, left tackle Turner Corcoran has allowed 33 pressures. That's most in the Big Ten. Bryce Benhart's pass protection grade at right tackle there is 2nd to last in the Big Ten, only ahead of Turner Corcoran. He's got a 23.9 grade via Pro Football Focus. And oh, by the way, he's allowed 24 pressures in 7 games. That is 2nd most in the Big Ten, only behind Corcoran. Now, as run blockers, Corcoran struggles as well. He ranks 29th of 30 Big Ten tackles, and Benhart is a respectable 18th. But the point is, the tackles are an issue. And there are, and it's part of why Martinez has been on the run as much as he has, is because they have been getting after him, and it starts on the edge there. And the offensive line has had some woes. Now, they've got a pretty good center. They've found some things at left guard last game. Their other guard is fine, but I think it's playing a part of why they're struggling to figure out which back, running back, is the best, is because this offensive line has not been consistent. But for this Nebraska offense, it goes as Adrian Martinez does. He literally does everything. So if you're defensive coordinator Joe Rossi, for Minnesota, that's got to be the game plan. Try to limit Martinez's legs as best you can and make him beat you with his arm, because if Nebraska's got to go back to pass, what does that mean? Who's going to be in pass protection, Luke?
It's going to be
those two offensive tackles, right, who are struggling. They are just struggling.
The now, entire I expect offensive to see line, but yeah, okay. Yeah.
I mean, I just expect to see Minnesota put a spy on Martinez in these passing down situations, that as they try to limit his ability on the ground. But Minnesota's front seven is going to have one of their best games of the year again. I mean, I feel like we say that every week, but they have to tackle well in space. They have to stay disciplined with all the different hoopla you're going to see from this Nebraska offense. And, you know, you best believe that Boye Mafe and Thomas Rush are going to have to find some success against these two tackles. Now, if you keep Martinez in front of you and you don't allow him to spin out and he beats you with his arm, so be it. But don't let him get nearly 100 rushing yards again. And then finally, Luke, I think Minnesota's got an edge on special teams, and that scares me to say that. You know,
I was wondering if you're going to bring this up, because if you weren't, I was going to. And it's like, these are arguably two of the least respected special teams in the country, and
they are two of the most inconsistent special teams I've ever seen.
That's a better way to put it.
Like, if Minnesota's going to walk away with a win on Saturday, it's because they got to win special teams, just like they did against Purdue. I mean, last time we saw this Minnesota team, Mark Crawford was named the co-special teams Big Ten Player of the Week with 6 punts of a 51-yard average, including 4 inside the 15. I mean, that's really obviously very good. And then obviously Matthew Trickett with 2 huge kicks in the rain. And that's where this Nebraska team, man. So they have no return game, 0 return game. Now, it's not like you expect anybody to get any returns against Minnesota anyway, but I can't figure out their kicking game. It's perplexing. I mean, they rank dead last in the Big Ten in net yards per punt. I mean, they average 35 yards per punt net. I mean, that's terrible. Mm-hmm. But their punter has been, like, incredibly good or incredibly horrific. Now, he's been good the last 2 weeks. Last week against Michigan, he had a 47-yard average. He only punted the ball once against Northwestern. And, oh, by the way, thanks to a nice bounce, he had an 84-yard punt. An 84-yard punt.
Yes.
And yet, think about this. Nebraska is still dead last in net yards per punt, and they have an 84-yarder in there. It's mind-boggling, because you go to the game before that against Michigan State, this kid has like a 23 average or something. And he has been red hot or red. I mean, he's been ice cold. So I don't know what we're going to see from the Nebraska punting game. And then Nebraska's kicker, he is – again, we're talking about hot and cold. He's 5 of 10 on field goals this season, but he has made all of his kicks the last 3 weeks. Now, 13 of those 15 have been extra points, and 2 of the other ones were field goals, but I believe they were short. They were shorties. I mean, I think they were both under 30 yards. So Minnesota's got to have the kicking advantage, and they have to have that if they're going to walk away, as they are underdogs in this game, Luke.
They are indeed. So let's get to the predictions. Again, the Gophers are a 3.5-point underdog. Nebraska is favored. The over-under is 48. A quick look at the weather for that consideration. Around kickoff,
it is going to be a beautiful fall day.
It's your ideal day. At kickoff, 49 degrees. Winds at about 11 miles an hour going into the end of the game, right around 2:30 or 3 o'clock. It's looking like it'll be about 59 or 60 degrees, with about 12 miles an hour of wind. Yeah, generally speaking, like you said, gorgeous day.
What do you think of this game? I mean,
it's tough.
I can see it for both sides. And I talked about it on the Pair and the Spare one, where it's just, you look across the Big Ten. I mean, it's not a great Big Ten slate. We'll get to that. but it's a massive game for both of these teams. Yes. And we've talked about the reasons already. I mean, if Nebraska is going to get to a bowl game, they have to win this one. I mean, yeah. They fully believe they're better than their 3-4 record, and I believe that to an extent. And then you got Minnesota sitting at 3-2, but you just lost. Now you're second tailback. You still haven't put together a full game. Mm-hmm. But if you win this one, as Luke mentioned, I mean, you've got Maryland next on the road at Northwestern and Illinois. You could be 7-2 going into Iowa, but you need to capitalize off the momentum from the Purdue game. It's so tough to like think about which way this one's going to go, because we just don't know what we're going to see from Minnesota off the bye. I mean, I don't know which Minnesota offense shows up. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I hear you. And it, like you said, it's very pivotal for both teams. It's probably going to define their season. I think at this point, Nebraska does have the edge. But coming off the bye, you think Minnesota might. But Nebraska has some momentum. They just haven't been able to execute. I'll say this. If Nebraska doesn't find a way, or if Nebraska shoots itself in the foot again like it has time and time again this season, they will lose this game. If they manage to avoid that, I think Nebraska wins. So I have to pick. So I'm going to pick Nebraska to win 23-20.
I haven't even finished, I finished my whole game preview for Friday, and I haven't picked a score yet. And I guess I'm going to have to give one here. But, I want to see it that Scott Frost can win a close game. I also want to see it that Scott Frost can figure out Minnesota here, because, yes, I get it. He did it in 2018 when I think they were 0-5, 0-6, and Martinez went bonkers for, 500-something total yards. Mm-hmm. But then I saw his team come up here in 19 and absolutely lay an egg. And that's where, I was mentioning it today to Justin, that game was huge at the time, if you remember that.
Yes.
I mean, Nebraska was 4-1, Minnesota was 5-0, and the theme was, we're going to find out how good Minnesota is. Now, Minnesota was fully healthy at the time, and then they absolutely ran, I can't say that on a podcast, they ran through Nebraska. I mean, they just dismantled them. And then last year, Nebraska, they had no business losing that game at home to what Minnesota had for a roster at that time.
Right.
They had no business losing that game, and they did.
Yeah.
And then you look at their schedule here so far, they've had ample opportunities to win every single game on their schedule this year, yet they can't find a way to do it when they need it.
Yep.
You know?
They just have crucial miscues at really important times again and again and again. So,
That's where it's as good as Martinez has been, I mean, he's had some absolutely crucial turnovers. I mean, the man has fumbled the ball 5 times already, lost 3 of them. He's fumbled the ball in 3 straight. And he's a big part of why Michigan was able to seal the victory in Lincoln. There was an untimely fumble last week. The man's going to put the ball on the ground, and it just feels like when he does, it's just at the most inopportune times. And again, that's the give and the take with Adrian Martinez. But I'm going to take the under for sure. And I think I'm at Minnesota 21, Nebraska 20, because I think off a bye week, it does matter in this instance, because Minnesota had a week to rest and to, number one, figure out what the heck they want to do with their running game, how they can complement it with the passing game. And, oh, by the way, this is Nebraska's 8th straight game. And, again, do you subscribe to this theory? Because I think there's a little something here. It's been 3 straight night games for Nebraska. They were on the road at Michigan State, lost in a heartbreaker. They were at home against Northwestern. They absolutely killed them. And then last week, in a crazy atmosphere in Lincoln, another emotional game, they're not able to pull it out. And now it's 11 a.m. in Minneapolis. I mean, do you think there's any kind of hangover effect there? Or if you do see one, do you attribute that more to, oh, by the way, it's their 8th straight game already in the season?
I think it's the attrition of 8 straight games more than it is the time of the game. And really, they've lost in heartbreaking fashion twice, right? The Oklahoma game maybe wasn't nearly as close as the score indicated, but they lost in heartbreaking fashion twice. And now you got to see, do they still buy in? Do they believe, as Ted Lasso would say?
Yeah. And I think they do to an extent, but I'm also I want to see Scott Frost win a close game, number one, in 2021. Mm-hmm. And then number two, I want to see him do it against a Minnesota team that's coming off a bye week that has had his number the last 2 years, because if they don't get this one and they don't make another bowl game this year again, yes, that schedule is, it is what it is. I mean, it's incredibly tough, but how do you continue to sell it down there in Lincoln for that town? I don't know. So I'm going to say Minnesota figures it out enough, and it's a 21-20 victory. There's still going to be a lot of people mad at the offense, but to Luke's point, like this is a good defense for Nebraska. And I'm going to say that 20 for Nebraska is a missed extra point, and it's just going to even drive the dagger in a little deeper, Luke.
Once again, our great partner, the Burns Insurance Agency, brings us Gopher Gridiron Radio. Ryan, you know this insurance agency quite well as both a user and as a son.
I do. You know, the Burns Insurance Agency knows that if you look back over the last 18 months or so, it's been a long time of unexpected and challenging events. And that's where the one thing you can count on is having the right protection. And that means the insurance agent on your side. That's where the Burns Insurance Agency, owned by my father, Bill Burns, a huge Golden Gopher football fan, is the company to help you with life's unexpected events. Whether that's an auto accident, a broken water pipe in your home or business, something goes wrong with your commercial business, the Burns Insurance Agency will have you covered. Now, his independent insurance agency has access to over 20 different insurance companies to shop for the best coverage at the best price for you each and every year. So if you think you're paying way too much for insurance, or you just want somebody to take an independent look at your insurance, let the Burns Insurance Agency do the shopping for you this year. So check them out at insurancebyburns.com. Or you can just email him directly for a free quote to make sure that you're getting the best bang for your buck and that your coverage is exactly what you need at bill@insurancebyburns.com.
All right, Ryan, let's talk a little Big Ten football here. Man, five games this week.
It's not a great week in the Big Ten, I'll be honest.
Here's the thing. One, I always find it weird when there's non-conference games outside of what you would traditionally think is the Big Ten season. So this in case would be Army visiting Wisconsin. I'm actually intrigued by this matchup personally, just because of Army's, you know, triple threat option against the Wisconsin defense that is super stout. That's a 7 p.m. game on Big Ten Network. Frankly, I think that one's going to be wildly interesting to watch. But yeah, generally, I agree with you. Not a huge week in the Big Ten. In this Wisconsin and Black Knights game, Wisconsin is favored by 14. Guess the over/under.
38.
Oh man, you're good. 39.
Gross. Isn't Army's whole thing like they are like this incredible running offense?
Yeah,
I shouldn't say incredible, but that's their whole niche, and now I have to go play against Wisconsin.
Yeah, 69 pass yards on average on the season for Army, 318 on the ground. Generally, you know, that's their bread and butter, and you know they don't make a lot of mistakes either.
Yeah, so I just feel like unless Graham Mertz continues to implode and he throws a couple pick sixes, that game's going to be like 20-6 and Wisconsin will win. What do you think of Rutgers Northwestern? I don't know the line in that one. I'd be very curious. I would imagine Rutgers is favored.
Yeah, Rutgers by 2 with an over under of 45. You know, one of our favorite things is I make you guess the get in ticket price according to Find Tickets or by Vivid Seats. Okay. What's your guess for this game? Again, this is at Northwestern, so at Ryan Field, 11 a.m. on BTN.
I was going to say $4, but I'm going to say like $2.
$4 on the you nailed it. $4.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, with that one, it's like Rutgers is, they've kind of been exposed the last couple of weeks. I don't know that exposed is the right word because they've gone against a couple of pretty good teams, I'm pretty sure. You know, they went up against Ohio. Yeah, they start the year 3-0.
Yep.
And now they have come back down to earth, putting up 13 points in each of their last three games. The issue is they didn't win any of them because you played Michigan, Ohio State,
right,
and Michigan State. So
here's a somewhat intriguing matchup. Purdue at Iowa. I tweeted you this stat, or I sent you a tweet of this stat. Jeff Brohm in the last 4 years is 3-1 against Iowa. That to me was a little surprising, but then like I thought about it a little bit more. Maybe not, you know, high risk, high reward.
Yeah, I mean, the thing on how you attack Iowa is you look at the first 20 minutes of when Sean Clifford was in the game for Penn State. They threw the ball 25 times, yet Minnesota can't get Tanner Morgan to
well,
throw the ball.
Well, we also have to have the caveat that Penn State doesn't really run the football particularly well. Also, can we just go back to that Penn State-Iowa game just for a second here? Like, honest to goodness, how do you end up, like, seriously, how do you end up where your backup quarterback is like a non-threat at Penn State? Like,
it's wild to me. And I think, well, you look at who their backup was and Will Levis, who's now leading a 6-0 Kentucky team with College Game Day coming to town this weekend with Kentucky versus Georgia. I mean, again, that's the reality is, especially, I mean, Minnesota's the exception here in the quarterback room, where Minnesota's currently got 5 scholarship quarterbacks back there between Ethan, Jacob Clark, Cole Kramer, Zach Anixted, and Tanner Morgan. And I think they probably told Will Levis, like, hey, we're going with Clifford. So he transfers out and he's, but yes, to your point, it is perplexing that even, you know, even the number two guy at a place like Michigan State, where they have recruited incredibly well. I mean, this guy is, I'm sure, a 4-star.
Penn State. We both failed and then eventually we got there.
Yeah, we got there. Now you're going to make me look and see what this guy was coming out of high school.
Well, okay, but seriously, though, like that to me was mind-boggling. And I hear the argument that people are saying, like, well, you know, Penn State wins that game if Clifford stays healthy. Sure, but this is football, guys. Like, that's not what happened. I don't really buy that argument. You have to be able to have a next man up and be able to execute, right? There are no excuses for injuries. As much as, you know, we'd love to make an excuse for Minnesota with, you know, no Treyson Potts and no Mo Ibrahim. But the reality is, like, that's not the situation. This is football. Injuries happen.
Yeah, exactly. And Roberson was a 4-star composite coming out of high school for Penn State there. But yes, it's for this Iowa-Purdue game, I think the way to beat Iowa is throwing the ball. Now, Purdue has the luxury of they don't run the ball at all, so this isn't going to be anything new for them. But in that same breath, I'll put this over under to you, and it triggers me to no end. You know that. Over under 3.5 Iowa interceptions this week against Purdue.
I will take the under here. I think that I guess the better question is who's going to start a quarterback for Purdue?
Isn't it Aiden O'Connell?
I mean, I would think it's O'Connell, but like, you would think, I mean, it's just Brohm, right? Like, he is such a wild card when it comes to playing quarterbacks. Plummer still leads them, I think, in attempts on the season.
I don't know. I'm telling you, one of these weeks it'll happen. One of these weeks. And then, you know, if Iowa wins with only 2 turnovers, I'll shut my mouth. But it's just, again, it's so triggering, some of these turnovers that they get, that it just feels like it's gifted to them.
I think too, the thing is if you're going to beat Iowa, and they are the clear favorite to win the Big Ten West, no question about it. They are 100% in the driver's seat, right? I think the way to beat them though is over the middle. Like, you have to be able to take those risks across the middle. So
that's the cover 2, cover 3 thing that they just play. I mean, you're going to take your shots across the middle, and that's where you can exploit them. But in that same breath, that's how they get interceptions, is their linebackers get tip balls, and then here we go.
Another question on this for you, just like, if you had to pick one coach in the Big Ten West to go up against Iowa and come up with a game plan to beat them, who's it going to be?
It's going to be Ryan Day.
In the Big Ten West. Big Ten West.
It's Brohm.
It's Brohm. Like, there's no question, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the last game here is for the Big Ten is, God, I mean, it's such a boring week with Ohio State on bye, Michigan's on bye, Penn State's on bye. Is Indiana, Michigan State? I mean, in Indiana, would it surprise me if Indiana stood up and beat Michigan State and that kind of Cinderella run comes to an end? No, but also That Jay Johnson offense is absolutely humming with explosive plays and efficiency.
Yeah, here's the piece for me. I don't understand. So the over-under is 48, which I'm tempted to take the over in this. But here's the thing. I don't understand why the spread's only 4.5 at this juncture. Like, is there this false hope still in Indiana? Like, Indiana on the year is 1-4. They're 1-4 against the spread. And conversely, Michigan State is 4-1 against the spread. Like, I don't know. I think Sparty's for real, right?
Well, you look at the three losses for Indiana. It's on the road at now number 2 Iowa. On the road, or they hosted Cincinnati at home, who's now a top 5 team. And I think Indiana lost their best defender to a targeting call in the first half there. And then they got shut out in Happy Valley. Yes, I mean, their two wins are, it's like, okay, you beat Idaho, and then you snuck past Western Kentucky. But you look at the next few games for Indiana, Luke. They host Michigan State at home, and then next week they get Ohio State before traveling to Maryland and then traveling to Michigan before they end with Rutgers, Minnesota, Purdue. I don't know.
Yeah, who's got the tougher schedule? Nebraska or Indiana? We might have to dedicate an entire
episode
to that.
They're both up there, I think, if you look at PFF. And by the way, I didn't even know that Michael Penix is now hurt.
No,
or he was indefinitely. So this line doesn't really. We'll see. I mean, we'll see. I guess the only other. It's just like a weird week. Again, with how crazy it was last week with Texas A&M coming back to beat Bama, you know, the crazy Iowa game. It's a pivotal game for Minnesota against what is, I think, now a -4 Nebraska, last I checked here. So we'll see if Minnesota's offense off the bye week has a few tricks up their sleeve, Luke.
Yeah, ultimately, like we said, kind of a pivotal game, probably going to define the season for Minnesota and or Nebraska. And it should be a fun one. It's always fun to watch the two fan bases interact, both over the $5 Bits of Broken Chair trophy. Again, check our last episode if you know nothing about that and consider donating. But additionally, it's also just fun to see, because I don't think the two fan bases for Minnesota and Nebraska particularly like each other. And I don't know why that is. But it's kind of fun to watch them on social media go back and forth.
Yeah. I just think no one in the West likes Fleck, and so then everybody gets mad at Minnesota fans, but it is what it is. See if Scott Frost can win a close game, huh, Luke?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, I want to thank our sponsors. I want to thank the Burns Insurance Agency, Ayers Rock Planning, and the Goal Line Club. We appreciate all of you who listen, and enjoy this week's game against Nebraska. Go Gophers.